So what do you do when people are just complete jerks to you? What do you do with the Donald Trumps in your life? How do you handle them? Well, I've got some suggestions. So saddle up. It's time for 8 second rule. This is 8 second rule, the podcast about attention-based marketing, where we talk about getting, holding on to, and developing the attention of your ideal audience. You've got 8 seconds. What are you going to do with it? Hey, I am Mark R. Morris Jr., the bull rider of ghostwriting, attention-based marketing, and personal branding is what I've decided now. And if you notice, there's been some changes on my profile of late. And I'm going to explain part of that today. But mostly, I want to talk to you about how to deal with jerks. And I am not the expert on this. I am not the jerk whisperer. I am not the person who always has the perfect response. In fact, I tend to overreact, but I am learning to hold some of that in, to write the angry email and delete it. And I'm going to tell you about three different jerks that I have encountered recently, and I'm using the term jerk because I don't want to give up my family-friendly rating on Anchor. They're a-holes. That's what they are. What do you do with them? All right, so we're going to talk about that. Coming up on 8 Second Rule. Okay, so the first jerk in my life was a client. Not the first jerk ever. I mean, that, you know, shoot. All of us had those back in grade school and stuff, right? But, and I've been the jerk in somebody else's story, I'm sure, numerous times. But this client, you know, really enjoyed working with this person. The story was fairly amazing. Went from being a drug seller to running a million-dollar company in a very short amount of time. Was always skilled at sales and business and all this stuff, this person. And a very laid back personality, super fun conversations. We just had a great time. We laughed more than we did writing. And so we were about halfway through the book. And there had been some delays on their part up until then, but then like an entire 6 week delay in the process. And then another 4 week delay in the process and another 2 week delay in the process, where they just weren't responding to messages. And so I just continued to, you know, message them and say, hey, let's schedule and get back on track on this. And I was still getting paid, so it really didn't, it bothered me because I knew I was going to have to do a lot of work past the end of, you know, the pay cycle, which I hate doing, but I knew I'd finish it. It wasn't a problem. And it was a really great thing. We were working together well. The edits they were sending back to me made a lot of sense. Everything was good as far as I was concerned, until I had a point in my life where I needed to ask for some extra grace. And so I messaged this person, said we're moving unexpectedly, and over the next few weeks, I'm going to need to, I know you asked me to do three chapters a week, but I'm going to need to just keep it at one chapter a week if you want to pick back up and get this finished until I'm through this period, because I've just got a lot going on right now, but I'll keep going for you. And I understand if that's, you know, going to be tough for you, just let me know. And basically the response was, well, I don't see why that's my problem. So the person decided that they deserved a full refund of services, which wasn't provided for in the contract, and I was still offering to finish the book, so I was well within my rights. I, you know, voiced my opinion. We had a little back and forth, and then I got a demand letter from an attorney asking me to refund this person's money, which I was not inclined to do because at least two-thirds of the work was done. And if you've ever worked with a ghostwriter on a book project, you'll know this. You get a severe discount, okay? Probably 30%, because it's a big, long-scale project. But if I was going to charge it to you like in blog posts or copywriting, it would cost you about 30 to 50% more, really. So I had already done more work than the contract was outlined for at my normal rates, and especially if you consider the 10 hours of consulting for the interviews. This person actually owed me money, but I wasn't interested in that. That was fine. I was perfectly okay, but I stated my position. Then I got another letter threatening to sue me. And so I contacted a friend who's an attorney. I said, you know, I need to do something about this. She took a look at everything. I had a full record in messaging of all of the dates that had been missed from the client's side and how much delay was in it. Showed her my contract, which allowed for a certain amount of delay, and also said that I could delay in delivery. Realized that after I looked at it, I was still within the confines of the contract, even on timing, even if the client wasn't already in default on many levels. So she said, okay. So she crafted a letter and she sent it back. And that, I thought, was the end of it, until I got a message from a company, an agency that I was repped through as a ghostwriter, just recently, saying that they had had allegations of fraud against one of my clients, that I was defrauding them. And rather than give me an opportunity to answer for myself, they just asked me to disassociate, which was fine. I get much more and higher paying clients in other ways. So that's okay. No problem there. But it just really irked me that this person was able to do that, make a phone call and cost me a connection that had been valuable to me. And it really grinded my gears. And so the way I handled it this morning, though, was I just was really upset. I was, and my wife said a couple things to me, and I snapped. I didn't yell at her or anything like that, but I was barely rude. And, you know, it cost me a nice afternoon. We were going to drive out of town, go get lunch. And she was just like, I'm just not in the mood anymore. I'm like, okay, great. So that was one jerk and how I handled it. And I don't think it was very effective. I'll tell you about the rest of it here in a minute. So the next jerk was a business coach, and a person mentioned that they had gotten taken for a ride for $5,000 and that the system didn't really work, and shared this guy's name. So I went and looked him up, and after looking at the profile, messaged the guy back and said, so tell me, what exactly is his system? Because he's claiming, you know, he's not running ads, he's not running funnels, and he doesn't do cold calls. Oh, well, he's inbox messaging people on LinkedIn. I said, cold messages? He said, yes. I said, so it's an argument of semantics? He goes, yeah. And I was like, well, that's BS. I mean, come on. So he is cold calling. That's his whole system. He said, yes. Basically, he's teaching you how to DM people in their inbox. And I said, he charges $5,000 for that? And I was like, yep, yeah, that's what he does. He goes, so, you know, and that's fine, but it may even work. Here was my problem with it. He's lying. His offer is a lie. He says there's no cold calls. It's the same thing, people. It's just as jarring. It's just as unfriendly. It's just as bad a business practice as calling up strangers and trying to hard sell them on your financial services. So I wrote a post about it. And I basically said, you know, guys like this really aren't helping anyone. If you guys need help with LinkedIn, I give free 30-minute coaching sessions. I don't charge anywhere near $5,000 to help people get their LinkedIn stuff up to speed. It just doesn't take that long. It's not that hard to generate income from this platform. You know, I'll help anyone I can as much for free. And then, you know, if you want more help, then we'll discuss that. But it basically just really irked me that he was out there taking advantage of people in the middle of a pandemic when some of us are doing everything like this podcast that we can to try and help. And then the third one just came to my attention this morning. Another fellow copywriter shared a post about someone, she happens to be female, and this is a male, who sent her a DM, not just outlining how badly he thought her grammar and spelling and punctuation skills were used in her LinkedIn posts, in her social media posts, but schooling her on how important it was for writers to take exactly the right words and make them fit. and just all of this stuff, just completely denigrating her, and then said, how you respond to this will tell me a lot about what kind of person you are. And that's the same message I got from the guy at the ghostwriting agency. And I told him, well, you know what? It's good to know that you did never have my back at all, that you are protecting your brand from what you perceive to be a threat, although you've never asked me about the situation. Very professional, very classy. So, you know, you've got these guys out there who do this sort of stuff, and it's pervasive, and it seems to be men a lot, and I'm sorry for that. I apologize. And after yesterday, you know, the United States of America now has a female vice president. Maybe we're moving in the right direction. But I just wanted to share these stories, and, you know, I'm calling this episode A Tale of Three A-Holes, because they impact our lives in ways that they shouldn't be able to, right? So really, it's a tale of four jerks, because the client, and then the guy at the agency, and then the person who sent this message to the writer, and also this business coach who's, you know, unscrupulous and just lies on his platform about what his methods are. So what is the right way then to handle something like this? Because I'm not that good at it. So I'm actually asking, I'd love for you guys to chime in. If you wanted to send a voice message on any of my episodes, this would be the one. What advice can you give us about how to deal with these things? Because I tend to just fly off the handle and be like, well, F him. And sometimes that's an appropriate response. It gets a little steam off your chest, especially if you don't do it in public. But sometimes I do, and I just burn the bridge. Sometimes I don't mind burning the bridges. With these three people, I would not care if there was ever a bridge established. I don't, it you know, their reach is smaller than mine. They, you know, I tried to engage them. I tried to be as generous as I could with my time and my energy. Of course, the one I didn't have anything to do with, the lady who had the message sent to her. But I just want to know how do you guys handle this? Because I know that, like, there's a story about Benjamin Franklin, about he had a desk full of letters on his death that he wrote angry messages and never sent. So I'm just not sure about that part, that I'm the guy to offer advice. I would say be careful of what you share in public, because it really can come back to bite you, even if you're in the right. And I would say, be careful what you send in writing, because that can also come back to bite you, even if you're in the right. I would also say to document all of your interactions with clients and coaches and people of that sort, so that if you end up in one of these situations and the law is on your side, you can defend yourself. It's not about fighting with them or thinking they're evil. It's a matter of justice. So just make sure that you prepare yourself in that way. And then in the last section, I'm going to talk about a brand building strategy for personal brands that makes sure you build something that doesn't end up turning into something like this. Because I know a lot of these people are just desperate, right? They're just trying to either get their money back, or they're trying to protect a business that's maybe not doing so well. Or the other guy was just projecting his expertise out into the universe. And who even knows if he's even that good, or even has that many clients or that big of an audience? I don't know. I couldn't even find him. So those are the things that I would say to do as far as handling that. And hopefully we'll get some advice, which I can share in the next episode. But coming right up, I'm going to give you some tips on how to build your personal brand around things that will not end you up in those positions. Okay. I'm working on a tool, and it's actually given me some insight. And this tool would actually compile a lot of work in one place and create a searchable database so that you would know exactly what it was you've talked about. So, like, for example, I have over 7 gigs of data in my Google Drive of writing, and that's not even all of the stuff that I have, but it's a bunch of it. And so I want to dump this into a database and be able to search through there and see, what topics do I discuss? What do I really value? What do I hammer on the most? Because it's easy for me to sit down and grab a legal pad and say, well, I'm going to write my vision statement. Somebody asked me about this last night, and my response was, I don't really do vision statements. I don't really do mission statements. I let people get to know me. I pick objectives and I go after them really hard. I build strategies and then I try to create tactics that will get me to where I want to be. But as far as having some kind of grand overarching artificial construct that I'm trying to live up to, I don't see it. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's what I'm really aiming for. Okay. So if I have a mission statement, if I have a vision statement, that's it. I want to do that. And I want that to ripple out into the community that surrounds me. So that's what I'm here for. And it's not about a religious thing. It's about really believing that that's the best way to live and that that's what makes for a more peaceful, harmonious, and abundant world. So here's what I'm going to say to you is if you are taking personality tests, if you are applying tools like vision statements or mission statements, and then you're letting it affect the way that you communicate or the things that really come out of you in a public sense, and it's not lining up with who you really are in your private life, if your brand's not working, let me just point you to the problem. I mean, you're schizophrenic. So if you're not consistent from the inside out, then what's coming to people isn't really consistent either. And you can aim at targets and you can probably reach them, but are you going to be able to sustain that connection? I don't think so, because they're going to sniff you out as a fraud. You're not really there for them. You're not really there to help them. You're not really connected to their community. Do you see what I mean? So you've used all the right keywords to kind of sneak in the door and they think you're one of them. This happens a lot in religious circles and political circles, where if you say one thing, people will just assume this whole bathtub full of beliefs that you have that you never even stated and you don't believe in and you don't live by. But because they get this one little corner view of you and you like this one thing or you say this one thing, they assume you're just like them. Okay. But when you live from the real center of who you are and you figure that out, and one way that you can do that is to look and see what you've done. It goes back to, I brought this principle up before. We decide if a tree is a good tree by the fruit that it bears. You know, if we have a vineyard and it's producing good grapes and they turn into delicious wine that people love, that's a healthy, good vineyard. If they don't, well, no matter how beautiful it is, no matter how we've put the right ingredients into the soil, no matter how we chose the right variety of grapes to grow, no matter how we got the experts there and the sun was perfect and the water was good and all of that, if I put the grape, you know, into the bottle and the wine sucks, that vineyard's shit. It's not worth anything. So what's happening to a lot of people is they're building these beautiful brands that say all the right things, that have all the right quote-unquote meanings packed into them, but it's not real. Now listen, I'm not saying you can't change yourself to line up with these other values if you find that you're a complete jerk and you don't like the way it feels. Cool. Do that. But until you do, make sure that you are lining up, that you have integrity in your brand. That means that your brand has structural integrity. Integrity is something is whole. It lines up from beginning to end. It matches. Okay? If you're a bad guy, you're always a bad guy. If you're a good guy, you're always a good guy. Most of us are a split. You know, we have good days and bad days. That's fine if we're honest about that. Like I'm here, I'm sharing, you know, some of my flaws, some really big warts here that one client felt like I was ripping them off. Okay. But I've done 50 books and she's the first one who's ever pulled this kind of stuff with me. Right. And I have documentation to show why it occurred. But at the same time, it doesn't keep me from feeling like a jerk because I've upset somebody because they went and did this thing because they injured me now on the back end of it. Am I going to have retribution about that? No, I'm not. This is the conversation I'm having. This is how I'm venting myself. Okay. But if you build a brand with integrity, where you are actually looking inside yourself to figure out what your values really are, you're not looking out here in the universe to pick the values you think you want to tell people about, or the values that you think that they will most closely align with, but you're actually looking at yourself and you're building from that. What do you really believe in? I believe in being the guy that I wish I'd met when I first got started. And if you look at my LinkedIn page, I think you'll agree that that's true, that I do it all day long. That's what I'm here for. That's what this podcast is about. Am I making money? Yes, I am making a lot of money in some cases. Am I rich? No, I am not. So I'm just getting started in this new phase. Have I done okay for myself? I've managed to support a family of 8 children for 25 years being self-employed. That's about all I can brag about. I survived. Okay, I'm here. I didn't have to file bankruptcy. I didn't go to jail. That's about it. Because there were some real struggles in there, right? But the brand was built on who I am. Not just who I wanted to be, but who I actually am right now in the moment. So you get to see me, warts and all. And that is my advice to you if you don't want to end up in a desperate situation and end up treating people like a complete jerk because you can't hang on to your business or because you feel the need to inflate your ego or because you spent money on something and you didn't follow through and now you want to blame the other person. You know, and there's many other circumstances like that. If you don't want to end up in those positions, guys, build a brand that is integrous. And integrity doesn't mean you're good. It means you stick together and you're cohesive and everything lines up. It matches. It's a matched set. Okay? All right. That's all I got to say because I don't want to make this episode too long. I hope my little rant today doesn't just put everybody off and you don't ever want to listen to me again. But if you do come back, I'm going to do my best to provide you with some more entertaining and lighthearted stuff next time. All right? So today I want to tell you about a tool that I am just starting to even dig into a little bit, and that's AWS servers. Amazon provides free database servers. Now, I know that makes me cattle. That makes my data the product. I understand this, but what I'm doing is putting my words into a database, and I want it to be searchable so that I can figure out if I'm really lining up with what I say. Am I saying the things consistently? What's been the growth? What has changed in the way that I discuss business, leadership, parenting, faith, whatever that is? You know, what have I actually said? Am I full of shit or am I actually consistent all the way through? I believe I am, but I think we all think that, don't we? Because we justify our own actions and our own beliefs. But if you go to Amazon and you look up their database, they do a document-based database set, and you can get this for free for a pretty good chunk of stuff, like 250 gigabytes of stuff. And then you can sort it and use it. Now, I have to figure out what kind of dashboards I need to attach to this. But just on the chance that somebody is looking for something where they can store data, you can find it. Just go to Amazon and look for Amazon Database Free, and you will find the ability to sign up for that. All right, guys, that's all I wanted to say today on 8-Second Rule. I hope that your day is better than mine has been so far and that my day gets better. It's not been a bad day. Actually, there's lots of good things going on, and I will be talking about more of those soon. But for right now, I just want you to think about the 8 seconds you get to catch someone's attention and what you're going to do with it. All right?